They gave me, I ended up getting 15 years, 8 months in prison.
Wow.
That's 188 months.
15 years.
15 years, 8 months, brother. I'm in a cell with him. He's acting really weird out, and he's like, I'm going to kill myself. I said, you finna do what? And he was gone. And you know what? I was gone. Just like that. Is that interesting? But
divine appointment.
Divine appointment in prison.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? In the Federal Bureau of Prisons, it took place. And I never forget, the Muslim guy came back and said, man, your Jesus keeps on going. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen, brother.
He said, your Jesus keeps on going. Nobody's even in the hallways. I mean, it was just me and God. Let's talk. And I start crying, man. I'm bawling. He took me to a scripture in John 14. And he said, the word of God reads, is this right here in 14:12. It says, greater things will you do if you just believe.
Have you ever seen a stereogram? This is a picture that on first glance looks like a jumbled mess of colors and shapes. It appears to be chaos unleashed on paper. However, look at it again. Stare at it for several minutes and another picture starts to appear. It's an amazing feat of artistry. Now, take a look at your life. At first glance, it may seem like chaos. It may seem like a bunch of unrelated events and circumstances. However, look closer. Can you see intervention? Do you see divine appointments? Do you see a higher power pushing you, pulling you, bringing people and places into your life? Do you see chaos or do you see purpose? What do I do when I discover God has a plan for my life? Maybe I'm in the middle of a storm or consequence. Can God still bring purpose to that consequence? Can God bring positive change and turn my lemons into divine lemonade? These are the questions and topics that I want to discuss today as our guest tells us the rest of his life change story. If you haven't listened to the previous episode, I want to encourage you to do so. My name is Eric Hutchinson, and this is the If Nothing Changes podcast. Previously on the last episode.
So the next day, I gave him $500. And when I came back that night, he gave me $1,000. And that really flipped me out. I just got introduced to the crack world. And eventually, I just said, you know what? I done found my career. I found my career, and I'm going to be a drug dealer. And all of a sudden, I get a call and say, man, there's police at the door. And they surrounded the house. They're in the front and in the back. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, my gosh. Before I can go into what I wanted to say, she says, son, I need to tell you something. I love you. And she said, I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you, Thaddeus. When I'm telling you just at the name of Jesus, when she said that, and she done said that to me time before, but I don't know what it was about this time right now. When she said that on the phone, man, I mean, it stuck me. And so even when I left that county jail and started my time in prison, man, I went with Jesus.
And now the rest of Thaddeus Black's story. So Thaddeus, you have been sentenced to prison, and now you've had this coming to Jesus moment. How long was your sentence, and how did God meet you where you were?
They gave me, I ended up getting 15 years, 8 months in prison.
Wow.
That's 188 months.
15 years.
15 years, 8 months, brother. And the beautiful thing about that is this right here. When I finally got my sentence and went on to start my time in Memphis, Tennessee, my first stop, man, it was like men of God was there waiting on me. I ain't never been to jail before. I've never been to jail before. But this Jesus that I have received and have given me this new look at life, I had some men there, and I don't know what prison's like. I don't know if you're supposed to do this or not, but these men took me in, man, and started giving me the word of God. And, man, I've never heard nothing so fulfilling in my life. And I'm sitting here like a, man, when I'm telling you, I'm sitting here like a brand new baby with baby food. Man, I am eating it up.
Did they any gangs try to get you in?
Well, I mean, everybody's going to try to get you to be part of something, from right. Muslims, from all that stuff. And I was like, no, but I ran across a guy that was just in the Word of God. And then he blessed me with some other guys that was in the Word of God. And so that's when my world really started. I mean, every day the word was going forth. Every day, man.
So when would you say that if you would say there's a salvation moment? Now I know that you got yeah. baptized as a kid, but yeah. then you went down this path. So would you say that you were a Christian younger or was it in prison, or when that yeah. night that you talked to your mom, did you have a coming to Jesus moment then, or what?
You know what, man? That was the first coming to Jesus moment I had when my mom told me about Jesus. When I'm telling you, because this is interesting, when I'm telling you, man, life looked different. I literally, from the inside, this took place. Man, when I'm telling you, it filled a void and gave me some hope. Man, this thing became tangible now, literally, because you felt it personally. And now I need to know who this Jesus is. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because if something come into your life and you think, like, it wasn't mama, it wasn't dad, it wasn't a friend who that you can just, hey, man, what? Jesus? Man, I need to find out who this man. Come on, I need to know who this. I need to know who this is. And so my time started off literally of getting to know who Jesus was. I didn't even think about my prison time. I had so much time in the Word of God that I was spending so much time in. And not only that, but when these guys got a hold of me at Memphis and was sharing the Word with me, and even at Memphis, Tennessee, check this out. When I went to Memphis. And as I was getting into Word there, brother, getting to know who this Jesus is, because it's the Word of God now. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. I mean, this thing is talking so much, it's hitting me all beside my head and in me and out of me, because it's telling me about the reality of life. And I was far from Jesus, but I was so happy now that I met him, because I was ruining lives out there. And I'm thinking, you know, no hope. But I do have hope, and he gives me this hope. He just didn't only become the Savior of the world, but he also became Lord of my life. I never surrendered that. I was always wanting to be Lord, man. I wanted to take the lead. But this feeling that I came into when I came from that county jail, I got to find out who this Jesus is. He's the Lord of my life.
Was that your first year in prison? Or yep. Yeah.
First year in prison, man.
So you realize, you know, prison was seminary for you.
You don't know me, man. I don't know who you is, brother. But let me tell you something. When I eventually got out of prison, my years, and did get involved in the church, and when all those things took place, I remember going before the church board, and I had a jumpsuit on you, man. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
But you said something right now, and I tell everybody this. I said, man, I haven't been to the educational seminary schools.
Yeah, you have.
But I'm gonna tell you where I've been though. I've been through one of real life.
Amen.
Where I've been around a prison of individuals with every religion you can think of. You name it, it's there. It's coming at you. It's challenging you. But Jesus Christ have not lost a battle. And I'm talking about this knowledgeable
Amen.
Individuals there. Knowledgeable things that's coming at you. And if you're truly living for Jesus, every one of those guys that has a religion is coming to you and asking you questions about your Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's separating it? A relationship. Because when Christ comes into your life, the tangibleness that you think you're trying to feel for and look for, it's in you. And when you're holding up to that word, man, it doesn't die. It's always alive. And so even man, this, oh man, you got me. I'm sorry.
Praise God.
Man, I just remember now, just when I'm thinking about the Muslim guy, I'm with Ron and this Muslim guy was always want to battle scripture. And I never forget the Muslim guy came back and said, man, your Jesus keeps on going. Did you hear that?
Amen. Come on. Amen, brother.
He said, your Jesus keeps on going.
Amen.
I didn't understand that at first, but I get it now, though. He said, your Jesus, man, it just keeps going. I keep coming back. I don't got no more answers, but you keep going.
Yeah.
Man, your God literally fulfills the whole heavens and earth. It's evident that he's huge.
Amen.
Man, I'll never forget that. He says it just keeps on going. I ran out, but you still going. I said, man, woo.
So the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. But I have come to give you life.
Come on, man. Come on, man. So yeah.
So tell me you're in prison and they sentenced you to 15 years and eight months. But you didn't that's not how long you actually stayed, right?
I didn't actually stay that long. So let me get to that point.
Okay.
That's really good. So Memphis, Tennessee, man, God has blessed me with a lot of guys around me. I mean, he blessed me with the word of God. So I don't know about prison, but as a little year come over, they said, hey, man, you can transfer. Man, I'd love to get back to Oklahoma. Can you get me back to Oklahoma? I said, well, yeah, we can get you back to Oklahoma. And so he said, no, we can't get you back to Oklahoma. We can get you close. And so the brothers anointed me, man, before I left. Fort Worth is my next stop. I'm at Fort Worth. I remember getting to Fort Worth, man, and I run across a guy that I knew on the streets from Oklahoma. And so, man, it's good. I began to start sharing the word with him some, and he's just kind of like, you know, and meet some folks. But, man, I got this. Man, I want to share some of this word in me. And so I'm doing my little studies, and then I met this little young guy, and we started getting off into the word, started kind of sharing him the word of God with him. Man, it's interesting. And I'm not even there for about a week. And they ended up putting me in a cell with another individual. And I said, can I get a Bible? I need the word. So he gave me the word of God. And I just went to the word. And, man, I was feeding my soul, my spirit in the name of Jesus. I just getting off in his word and having a little Devo time and things like that. So eventually, I didn't ever talk to this guy in here. And so, man, I'm in the word. I just wasn't talking to this guy for a second, man. And I'm just in the word a little bit. I think a day passed or something. And I said, man, you read the Bible any, man? And he wasn't really never saying a lot. So this particular day, he had a visit. And he was going out. And this is how I know, because when he came back, he told me. But as he went out for a visit, I'm still kind of reading the word of God. And so when he come back, he says, man, I got to tell you something. I said, what's going on, man? He said, man, my brother's a pastor, man. He said he had told me that God was going to send an angel to my room and start telling me about the word of God. Oh, no. Did you get me? I immediately, man, literally, I felt the truth of that. And I received that, man. And I'm telling you, after that conversation the next day, don't you know this guy was gone? And it was like the next day afterwards, I was gone. Can you grasp that for a second? Because I began to start sharing the word of God with this man. And I began to start talking to him about who Jesus was. And inviting Jesus into his life and letting him know that, man, you have done nothing that Jesus can't fix. And when he came back off that visit, man, and told me that, I was thinking like, wow, well, Lord, thank you that I did not get in the way and was able to at least get in here and still share the word with this man about who he was. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
And he was gone. And you know what? I was gone. Just like that. Is that interesting? But
divine appointment.
Divine appointment in prison.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? In the Federal Bureau of Prisons, it took place. And so I left. Well, I mean, I left Fort Worth and went to Texarkana. So that Fort Worth visit was so short that I went on into Texarkana. And you know what? Man, I met more blessed brothers and went right into the words. The same ministry that was coming in at Memphis was coming in at Texarkana. And it just picked back up. And man, I started meeting more brothers. And man, we was turned the yard upside down with the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Remember what was that, 9/11? When they ran the planes into the buildings?
Yeah. World Trade Center.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy then. Yeah. It was really weird then. And so I remember fighting on my court case. And I'm fighting on it, man. Get this time off of me, man. I mean, still got a little fight in me right here. You know, and God is still showing me good things. I feel like God is all for me. So I said, man, I won this thing in the appeals court. Hey, the appeals court want to hear why they gave you this kind of time and you never had, you know, you'd never been in trouble before and this and that. And that. So I goes back to, get ready, I goes back to Oklahoma. I get transferred out, going back to hear this court case to see if we, so, you know, as I'm in the cell, they put another guy in the Oklahoma County Jail with me when I arrive. White guy, so he just did. He just probably embezzled some money. He was I don't know if he was a realtor, but he was some kind of dude with land. I think he probably did somewhere about $2 million. And so I'm in a cell with him. He's acting really weird out. And he's like, I'm going to kill myself. I said, you're going to do what? You know, I'm thinking like, yeah, man, I'm well off. I'm good, man. I got a really good life insurance. My wife is with my kids, and this, they just can't make it without me. They need money, and I know if I kill myself, I got a great insurance policy. And I was thinking, like, I said, okay, let me just share something with you. And I began to start telling him about the love of God. I began to tell him about why Jesus came to give you life, not for you to go kill yourself, but he comes to give you life. He didn't say nothing about death. You can choose death. That's what we do because we don't know nothing about life. But Jesus comes to save.
Amen.
So we end up looking through his papers, and he got 0 to, what, 2 years or a year or something? And I said, friend, you would kill yourself when you ain't even probably got a, you're probably not even, you may not do no time. The most you'll probably do is 2 years or something at the most, and that's not even nowhere. You probably can do that right here. And he was like, oh, but after all of that too, though, he accepted Jesus too, though, as his Lord and Savior as well. Man, we talk scripture. Check this out. The court did not hear me. They just like kicked me back out of the court and just sent me back to. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, what was I even here for then? And I got to realizing. I'm trying to think of one good thing while I was here, and it wasn't for me, of getting time knocked off. But I was able to share somebody with the
divine appointment.
Come on. Are you feeling me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on. I'm looking at this tutor right now. I'm even having even more right now because I'm seeing the bigger picture that God is bigger than this.
He's got a plan for your life, brother.
He got a plan. Mm. And not only that, this wasn't never about you, Thaddeus. I needed you to do something, and you just happened to be available.
Amen.
Oh!
Praise God.
Oh! But I had these things, but these things was kind of happening to me in prison like that, even on my transfer times out. So this was it. When I get back, I'm mad at God, though, at Texarkana, because I feel like they didn't hear me in court.
Right.
I'm mad.
Yeah.
I'm mad at God. But, man, God spoke to me, though. God spoke to me that week. I spoke to my mom, and she spoke to me. She said, what are you doing, son? I couldn't answer her. And, you know, and she was like, you got to trust God. I don't want to hear that right now. So I'm upset. I'm upset. But man, God, man, it just spoke to me. And if you know anything about prison, there's no quiet spaces. People's everywhere. But this particular time, God appointed me, let's go. I said, man, so I went to my room, quiet. Nobody's even in the hallways. I mean, it was just me and God. Let's talk. And I start crying, man. I'm bawling. And it was almost kind of like the answer, like, what are you bawling for? What are you doing all this for? And I said, Lord, I just went out of this thing, you know? And he didn't answer that. He didn't answer that. But what he did answer is this right here. He took me to a scripture in John 14. And he said, the word of God reads, is this right here in 14:12. It says, greater things will you do if you just believe. And man, I just started bawling again, man. Because I was like, Lord, I do believe you. And I trust you. And I love you. And I'm asking you for forgiveness. I mean, I reeled it back out, man, and said, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. I'm you'll always be that. And I can't look to the left nor to the right. This is the conversation. I can't look to the left or to the right and get help that you've been blessed me with right now. And I just ask the Lord for forgiveness for even thinking about going, for even how I try to look at going to the court and try to just say, get me out of here or something. You know, I was wrong. But I mean, God used it for his good, but I had the wrong thinking though. And immediately as I surrendered, I went to my locker though when I got up and I just gave God glory. And I told God, I said, listen, I didn't say listen, I just said, Lord, I don't care if I ever get out, but I'm just going to wait on you. And so I went to my locker and I tore those papers up. I tore those legal papers up and I trashed them. And I said, Lord, let's roll. Even if I don't get out, I'm good. Literally, I'm good. And man, there it is. And so after Texarkana, we went to, Segalville, did my time in Segalville. Man, we met other brothers. We shared this word. We turned the yards upside down, and we're giving people gospels and winning people to Jesus, man. I mean, there was a variety of hearts and men that were winning to the gospel of our Lord and Savior. There was no denomination talk. Let me just say that. It was just biblical and Jesus right now.
Keeps on going.
It just keeps on going. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it took me all the way through Texarkana, Segalville, met other Christian brothers over there. Man, this was one of the most powerfulest bunch I've ran across. And man, Segalville was, when I say this was a time of seminary school for me, that's exactly what it was, brother.
Amen.
It was that.
Just Jesus and he's enough.
He was enough. Man, let me just say, I finished my time out in Segalville and got another transfer. I wasn't supposed to go to the camp, but God told me I was going to the camp again. I got told no. And you know what? I go to the camp.
So the camp?
I dropped all these two lows. The camp is the next thing you go to when you're security level, because you're just not a threat in security. Okay. You're just a model inmate.
Minimum.
So using the minimums, then you go down literally to a camp where there's no more fences. You're just literally out of camp yard. And that's in El Reno, Oklahoma. That's where I finally landed up at.
So how many years were you in before you went to the camp? Was that just a year, 2 years?
So it was at the camp when I got my sentence knocked off. So okay. I want to say I've been there about 5 years or six, maybe going on my eighth year, maybe. Because I think I was at the camp for about 3 years.
Okay.
But I would have been there for another 3 years if I didn't get that 37 months knocked off of it.
Okay.
So as I get to the camp, man, you know, I'm doing my time there and meeting other brothers and sharing and I'm mentoring people and we're sharing the word of God with individuals, but this is the thing, though. When I get to the camp, I end up meeting a guy, young dude, man. He's coming to the prison, and by this time, I'm working in R&D, what you call receiving and discharge. Get a chance to work in there. It's kind of like a little privileged job, a little bit. And, man, we get to He comes in, man, he's just looking like a deer in headlights. But I had to let him know this is just a camp. It is prison, though, but it's a camp. No killers out here, I promise you. And, you know, and befriended this young man and, man, was able to start sharing the word with him and showing him different brethren and, you know, the brothers here. And he wasn't there long. He just did some mail crime, so he had some months. But, you know, befriended him and loved on him. But, man, when he got out, he told me, he said, man, call me, man. Just call me. You know you get that all the time when you go to different places. Everybody say, write me, call me, man. Yeah. You know, and by that time, man, I tell you what, he got out about 6 months. He's probably almost been out a year. And I get something in the mail, the crack law. And this is how I lost time. This is how I got time knocked off, was dealing with the crack law. You can have a kilo of coke, but you can have a little crack. Kilo of coke gets you 5 years at most. But this little thing here gets you 10 to life.
So why? I mean, why?
That's the whole question that was being asked. Why is they getting so much time off this little bitty thing and somebody can get caught with a kilo of cocaine and get the most 5 years and get 10 to life off, man, 10 to life. I got time knocked off behind that. I didn't have no lawyer, but God just fixed it, man. You see, remember the prayer of Texarkana? I told the legal paper up and just say, God, if you do it, it's going to only be you. Mm. He came through. He did that. He did that right there. That's a God thing for me. And so check this out. I was when this crack law passed, it knocked me down, man. I don't think I only had about a year, maybe not under a year. After it was all said and done, it knocked 37 months off my ticket.
Wow.
And I'm thinking like,
praise God.
Man, I am like, God, you are so awesome. I gets out though, so I gets out of the camp, and man, reality, man, I'm at the halfway house. Now you need a place to live. You need everybody who was in my place. It's gone. My mom has passed away. My brother's, the house is gone. There's no, I don't even got a place to stay, man.
Nothing.
I need work. I was trying to get a job, man. I talked to a guy trying to get a job. So eventually I talked to the staffing agency. I've been talking to this guy all morning trying to get this job.
Right.
And so I've been talking to the guy, get up there, and I'm talking to the guy. And man, you know what, man? This guy laid into me. And man, I got all these people around me, and he talks so bad to me. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know if you had a bad day, but I'm not. Do you remember where I am? I come up for this certain job here. And he just was going off, man. I had to shake it off, and I caught myself talking to God again. I said, okay, Lord, here we go again. Here we go. I had to get out of this place. It's 100-something degrees. I had to walk almost 2 miles to get to this place just to get back to the bus stop. I'm leaking like a faucet. I just need something cool to drink. So I go over there and I'm drinking some tea and some water. The next thing I know, I hear somebody say, Black, a familiar voice from 11 years. That's the guy that sold drugs with me.
Wow.
Are you following my drama right now?
Yeah.
Are you following my drama right now? And I look around, I say, oh my gosh, you know? Man, he's come on. Hey, homie, what's up? You know, man, it's good, man. I'm still out here, dude. Woo, woo, woo. First thing he does, hey, man, are you good, man? You need anything, man? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to get this little job. He said, man, listen, I got you. And I'm thinking, now, the first thing he do was like, I got you, man. He pull out this roll of hundreds, man. He just, man, what you need, man? It ain't even like, are you with me right now?
Yeah.
It's like, I got you. And I'm thinking, like, man, this is too fast right now. You know, I'm just, I'm trying to over here, and all of a sudden, this right here hit me. And I'm just.
So he starts giving you money.
And he's first thing, he's just flipping out bankroll, like, man, let me get you back in the game. You better be real careful about the choices you're going to make right now.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
I mean, I just got through doing 11 years.
Yeah.
And
11.
And I'm just sitting there, and I just got to. So. I remember, I'm just like this literally, and you him right across the table like we are right now. I just kind of turn my head. But to myself, though, I just kind of turned my head, though. I said, no, I'm good. I said, man, I tried Jesus on the inside, but I never tried Jesus on the outside yet.
That's awesome.
I know what Jesus yeah. done for me inside here. And man, why would I drop him off now? I got to give him a chance right here too, though. You know? And that's just what I told myself. I got to give Jesus a chance. Man, he looked back at me across the table and was like, man, what? Man, he's effing wrong with you. Man, what? They done done to you up in there, man. You done went. I said, no, man, I'm just going to try Jesus, man. And he got up, pouting and tripping and out the door. Check this out. As I get done drinking my tea, I leave out. I remember this employment lady. I said, man, I never seen her. I finds her. And I get a job. A real job now. She wouldn't found me a real job. And all I needed was some clothes now. I don't have no money, though. I don't have this. I was thinking, like, man, who am I going to call? Chase. Call Chase, the guy that I met at the laundry room. The young guy left me his number. They called me. He's been gone almost over a year now. But that's the only one I can think of. So I go back in and try to find my book because I put some names in there. And I'm trying to, man, what do I do with this book? I finds it. I got about 75 cents. So I'll tell you how old I am now because we had our rotary machine.
Payphone, huh? Yeah. What's a payphone?
Payphone, right? And so I calls him on this. All right, I give him a call. And you know what? He answers. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's been going almost over a year. I don't know if this number's good. People change numbers like they change underwear
right.
or clothes or something. But he answers the phone, and I'm thinking, like, Chase, oh, my gosh. And he said, Black, is that you? I said, man, it is me, man. It is me, man. And it was like, man, praise. I said, listen, Chase, I'm at the halfway house. I said, all I need, brother, I need something, brother. Hey, I'm not looking for a handout. I'm just looking for a hand up. That's all I'm looking for. I just need some boots. I need just a few pair of pants and just some shirts, something I can work in. I know how to work. I got it. I just need to do this, though. He said, man, I got you. And bingo, man, I started working, man. And all of a sudden, man, I'm just in this community of hope and faith and belief that's looking over my well-being, that's looking to make. And there's where we start off at, man. And so it was his dad that invited me to his church. And all of a sudden, this from a Sunday school, from being with me, from taking me, from just, you know, taking me out to eat with them, being with family, seeing the Christmas at their homes. And it was giving me sight and things to say, man, I want family back. I love to have me a family one day again. And man, little things just started adding up, man. And then I ran back across my house. So they prayed with me one night about having a God-fearing woman, which I never had before. And all these beautiful things just started.
So and, how did you get reconnected with your and
here we go here, we go,
life.
Here we go. My boss prayed for me. He said, "Have you ever prayed for a God-fearing woman?" I have no idea about a God-fearing woman. I just like girls, you know. For some reason, that
like girls.
No, that thought just it rained with me though. Like, oh my gosh, man, I don't think I never prayed like that. And so me, him, and Rick, let's just pray. But I also told God, I say, I'm going to wait on you, Father. You're going to, you know, I never had an opportunity to literally say, I'm going to wait on your choosing. And so I ended up seeing a girl from way back, in the times I was in the streets over 11 years, and met her for breakfast. I see across the room a family that looks familiar, but I don't know, you know, I didn't want to be staring at them. But I heard his voice say, Daddy is Black, is that you? I'm thinking like, oh my gosh. And then so she gets up, man, and just start walking where I am with this girl. I'm thinking like, man, this is crazy, you know. And it's Michelle, it's my wife's sister. And she said, man, do my sister know that you're out of jail? I say, I'm with this other girl. I'm saying to myself, I say, this is crazy. And I know this other lady's looking at me like, she done called her sister up on me. I said, she started to say, you don't, I bet you don't have no idea who I'm talking to right now.
My word.
And she was like, well, who are you talking to? You know, and she was like, it's Thaddeus. I can hear on the, I can hear the voice like, who? You know, girl, here, take the, he's like, boy, here, take the phone. You know, she's crazy. So I said, hey, what's, I said, hey, what's going on? She said, Thaddeus Black. I said, that's my girl, man. That's,
wow.
That's my high school sweetheart there, man. Hey, she was single. You know, she had been married. She had got a divorce in Texas, and this kind of came back home
God
with a
brought
child.
You guys back together.
Come on, man. Come on. Look at you.
He just keeps on going.
Do you see what I'm saying? Come on. It just brought us back like this. And, man, and here we are. You know, I'm married 13 years now with her, you know?
Amen, brother.
And so even in that process, man, that's when the column, we, you know, we get invited to church and process God called my heart to the ministry. And man, there's so much to that. And one thing I know I promised God, though, is this right here, brother. It was this right here. I said, I would not stop telling your story.
Amen.
I don't care if I sound like a broke record. I don't care, whatever thing. I am not going to stop telling your story. I'm going to, everywhere I go, Lord, if you bless me, I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to tell it, tell it, tell it. And they would bring people and say, man, y'all guys need to hear this story. And I mean, I'm telling you, they would start bringing people in this little hole in the wall place for a Bible study. Pastor, tell your story. Pastor, tell your story. And man, and here we go from what is that? We got started over there in what, 14, and now it's 2024.
10 years.
So I'll tell you what God has done. All the miraculous things. It was probably so. We end up starting the church. We start having more individuals. So we start using the school of another building. But you know, along those years, things was happening, and eventually, 5 or 6 years later or something, as we're still having church, you know, we're doing the food pantry. Then the pantry started growing out. We started getting more space in the pantry over time. Man, I tell you what, when I said the kingdom of heaven just popped, it just went crazy. And it comes back to something that we talked about. Greater things will you do if you just believe.
Amen.
It's the mission of Jesus Christ. And so we're seeing this ministry flourish like this, and God's able to even also to in this hurt and brokenness to try to address some physical needs, but we're taking this ministry on in a holistic way.
Amen.
So, man, I mean, God is just showing out, man.
Amen.
You know, and so thank you.
Well, hey, brother, so as we wrap up, why don't you give, if I know it'd be really difficult to condense your story or your message, but, you know, if you're in an elevator with someone and you only got, you know, 60 seconds to tell them your story and your message, what message do you want to give to a listener that maybe, you know, they've never heard anything like this before? Yeah. So what's your message?
You know what? We hear every word of hurt or pain, and where was God at, or what took place in all this thing here? But you know, it's, I love it when it says in Ephesians 2, when it comes down to 4 and 5, it says, but God, who is rich in grace and mercy.
I'm a porn addict, but
come on,
God.
Come on.
I'm an alcoholic, but
God.
I'm a felon, but God.
Ooh, amen, he has brother. An answer for every but God.
Thaddeus, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. Hey, if you are listening today and you are struggling, maybe life has thrown you some curveballs, or maybe you just feel like there's no purpose to your life. That's a lie from the enemy, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But God wants to give you purpose and meaning to your life. God wants to change your life, and He wants to change others through your life. However, if nothing changes, nothing changes. See you next time. Hey, if you are still listening and you like this podcast, I want to encourage you to listen to previous episodes because they will help to inspire change in your life. Also, if you like what you hear, please leave a positive review because it helps to bring this podcast to others. But no matter what, may God bless you and may God bring positive change to your life.